This is episode number 5 with Qigong Master Tristan Truscott. Hello and welcome to the Real Raw You podcast. My name is Jenna Clacker, former corporate executive turned lifestyle entrepreneur. Each week, we bring you a new guest to inspire you to live more, love more, and be the Real Raw You. Episode is sponsored by Tristan and Sabrina Truscott. Tristan and Sabrina have made an amazing offer. You can see it at the special offer link below. Let's get started.
Today we're talking with Tristan Truscott, and I hope that you'll leave this call feeling more alive, having more energy, and really wanting to thrive. Let's go ahead and get started. I want to just give you a brief personal introduction to how I met Tristan and Sabrina. They live here, right here in Austin, and sometimes I think you discard those people that are right in your backyard, and you don't realize how phenomenal they actually are until you meet them. So not only have we played in the playground here in Austin, Texas, but we've also played in the playgrounds all over as we've been mentored by some of the same marketers and some of the same energy workers. So it's just been kind of a joyous honor to play with them and practice in their dojo at one point. And I'm really, really excited to have them on the call. So Tristan, welcome. Welcome to this conversation.
Hi, Jenith, and hello, everybody listening in. It is so cool to play. I love that you use the word play. Let's play. Let's have fun. Let's share about this energy. Let's get high.
Yeah. Let's get some high Qigong going. Oh, God. These conversations, I mean, my brand that I moved into in this past year is the Real Raw You. So I want these conversations to be real and raw and vulnerable, and let's not hold anything back.
Man, I love it. That's my style.
Kind of interesting being around you, Tristan, because you're just masterful on being almost any energy in any moment. There's just a certainty about you and this inner exuberance. And I know that you've got this really cool story on the first time that you met John Azarath, and you weren't so much in that certain moment. And I was hoping you kind of, let's just start off the conversation and sharing, what does it really take to get into that certain moment? And we briefly talked before the call that you'll actually take them through an experience so that they can be that certain moment. I don't know what else to call it. Maybe you have a better word.
I think that's a good thing. Call it being in the moment. Yeah, well, let's start with a deep fear. Meeting John and partnering with John in business was a phenomenal experience. And I'm sure everybody on the call knows, but if you don't, John Azarath, he really became super famous, I think, in our space because of the movie The Secret. He'd already been out there in personal development, writing wonderful books, and just a great mentor, a great teacher. So there's a whole backstory as to, you know, watching the movie The Secret, seeing somebody who I felt drawn to, and wanting to play with, using that word play, and work with and create something together. And it was really born out of being in alignment. I'm sure you guys are talking a lot about that in this series, and listening to your energy and your energy letting you know if this is going to raise your energy or dampen your energy, and just getting in tune with the art of listening or being. And something inside, while I was practicing this art that we'll talk about later called Qigong, which means working with your energy, I got a download, right? I got an intuitive hit that said, I saw John's face flash in front of my inner being, was like, you need to connect with him. So there's this whole backstory of, it was neat how his office ended up calling us out of the blue, right? You know, intention's a powerful thing. And then there was this way to play together, making these digital vision boards and going to San Diego, where John lives and offices, to meet him for the first time. And so I think you're referring to the time that I was sitting in his reception area getting ready to meet him for the first time. And, you know, you were talking about masterfulness, right? And I love that. I love that about my journey as a martial artist. learning how to go beyond fear. I mean, that's why I started on that path. I felt very self-conscious and a lot of fear as a child. I was the kind of kid that if you asked him to get up in front of the class and give a book report, I'd take the F because I would totally shut down. I was really shy. I was very scared. I had been brought from England to America, uprooted, parents divorced, all of that. And there was just a lot of self-consciousness being in front of the other kids. And that stuck with me. And as you guys know, when you have an emotional disruption like that, your energy gets blocked and it doesn't flow. And so every time I try to speak in front of a group, I would lose my breath. It was such a horrible feeling. And I'm sure people can raise their hand because they've had that, or your legs would shake, or you would just feel butterflies in your belly. I had this so bad that my palms would sweat. And when I would go home from school, I would have a migraine headache. And then I would grind my teeth at night because there was so much stress inside. So that's where I started. And then I find myself going through this journey of personal growth and mastery, like you said. But, you know, every master, and I don't consider myself a master of anything. I think we're always mastering our mastery. But there's a saying that every master was first a disaster. Well, I felt like the disaster guy that was scared of his own shadow. So I got this black belt and I'm going through life and I'm starting to, you know, get out there in the world and do things like what you're doing, Janet, reach people, share these arts, you know, make a difference. And I had an opportunity, Sabrina and I had an opportunity to go to San Diego and do something really big with this guy. So we're sitting in the reception room and I'll tell you what, I got struck by that little kid who had to get up in front of class and do the book report. I felt the fear just, it was like a black hole. It was just sucking me in. And I'm sitting in the reception and I looked at Sabrina and I'm like, I've got to go. I've got to leave the building. I've got to get out of here. And she's like, you can't freaking leave right now. We're about to meet this guy. You can't leave. I'm like, I have to. I've got to go outside. I've got to do something to get back in the moment. That space, that state. And so I left poor little Sabrina there. I go outside, and it's a gorgeous, beautiful, sunny day in San Diego. John's office is overlooking the Pacific Coast, and I'm an old-time surfer, so just seeing the ocean immediately helped to soothe me a little bit. And I could see John because his office was right there next to the veranda, and he had these big glass windows, and he's on the phone. And he's overlooking the water. He's walking around. I see him. He's, you know, in my mind, making a deal. And in my mind, I got to go back in there. And there's a part of me like, I got to give the book report. So here's what I did. I have learned this art of Qigong, which is a beautiful way to balance the energies within your body. In fact, I learned it because I needed to heal my body of a terrible back injury. If anybody's heard my story, then you know that I had a terrible for 5 years, crippling pain. I even had a $90,000 back surgery in Beverly Hills with top doctors, and I was worse off afterwards. And I was led to basically this beautiful natural healing art, but for some reason I hadn't been ready for it until a little bit later in the journey. So I got on the path of Qigong and really taking private lessons with masters of the art and owning it. I had learned what to do to clear my system. So you do a certain type of tapping, not EFT tapping, although it has a similar result, and you tap your whole body. So I went outside. I was tapping everything. You should have seen me. I was tapping like freaking crazy. Like, I got to get back in state. I got to get back in state. And I'm doing the tapping, and then you start doing these deep rhythmic breathing motions with your body. And it's very calming. So I was doing the movements, and you work on these energy centers. Now, many of us probably are familiar with the chakra system. And we know that there's 7 energy centers, and we want to get them open and aligned. Well, in the art of Qigong, we focus on many channels and many energy centers, but mainly 3. And the first one is in your belly, and we call that the power center. There's a term also for these areas called dantian. It's like energy vortex. There's another one right in the heart, which we call heart center. And then there's one in the forehead, which some people would call the third eye. I like to call it the wisdom center. And so there's some movements that you do and intentions to clear and unblock those areas. And then you do a couple of other movements that align them and bring the energy of the mind and the energy of the body, so the upper wisdom center and the lower power center, you bring those two energies together in the heart center. And it's in the heart center where all the magic happens. So I did this special little routine. And what you do is you put a picture inside, like once the energy is really percolating, and you can feel it. It buzzes in your hands. You feel it in your arms. Some people feel it running up and down through their spine. It's pretty awesome. Sometimes it feels like your whole body has, like you're wearing an energy jacket. So I did the clearing. But I could tell that there was a program, right? You guys all get that. We have these negative beliefs, these old programs that sabotage the beautiful opportunities. And the old program was that I was going to have to go in front of a class or in front of the principal or a teacher and do something, and I was going to do it wrong. I was going to do a bad job. And I knew I had to change the energy around that particular program. So once I got the energy flowing, and guys, if you're getting this, this is kind of the secret sauce. You clear the channels. You get the energy buzzing, and then you shift state around the story. The story now became something different. I looked at through the window, and instead of seeing someone who I'd never met before, someone who was a celebrity, he's from The Secret, I have to go in there and impress him, all of that creating so much tension and resistance, I said, oh, that's my friend. That's my old friend that I haven't seen in a very long time. And I'm literally telling the story, I'm saying it, and I'm seeing it. And I've got my arms held out in front of my heart center. And maybe you guys have seen these standing meditation postures that the Qigong masters teach. They're very powerful. And so I'm holding this posture, and the picture is now changing. And what I saw was John, I literally saw this, going to his door, opening the door, walking out, and then I saw myself walking towards him, and him opening his arms, giving me a big bear hug, like a friend he hadn't seen for several years, going, hey, buddy, so great to see you. I took all the energy in that visual, because remember, every image you have is encoded with the data of life. Whatever you want something to become, when you have the energy and the image together, it becomes a reality. It might not happen instantaneously, but it will come to being if we hold that picture and that energy state. So I took the hands and I pushed that picture and that energy into my heart center, because I find, as I was saying, if you bring the mind and the body together into the heart, and that's what the Qigong masters teach, they say bring heaven and earth together in yourself to create amazing power. And it was right there, the picture, and it felt so good. I felt so safe in that energy. I closed the session. There's this, you bring your feet together, your arms go over your head, and your hands come down. My whole energy was, I walked in the office, there's Sabrina, big eyes looking at me like, whatever. John opens the door. He walks out. I just knew what to do. I walked straight towards him. He opened his arms, and he gave me the most wonderful hug, and it was like meeting a friend that I hadn't seen in a very long time. And that's how I shifted out of fear into a totally new story, and we both went into his office, and we were in there for 2 hours. We're supposed to meet for 30 minutes, and next thing you knew, we were having dinner at his home, and we became business partners. So talk about the power of making an energy shift. That's my story.
Yeah. Well, and you know, if we create everything in our life, you know, here you guys are creating all of this. How awesome is that?
It's been fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've become great friends. I just saw John 2 days ago. You remember you were saying all these different people we've worked with. There was John, you know, at a live event, and there's my buddy. It's been so sweet.
Yeah, yeah, and you've gone water skiing with them, or like freaky water skiing.
Oh, we've done everything. Cabo, we've been
and
to
all kinds of
ride.
Things.
We
just
built
hang
websites,
out with them.
Programs.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's the power of the creation. And you know, we talked with Kenji earlier, and one of the questions I asked him, and I want to ask you too, is well, there's two questions. You know, the first one is, you know, you kind of already alluded this, but do you feel or do you still feel that you hide
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah. We all hide to degrees.
Yeah.
You know, we need that, though, because it creates the pain of contrast. Yeah, there's definitely, and you know, it flips, Jenna, like some days, I bet everybody can relate to this. I don't know if it's a brain chemistry or an energy chemistry. Something is different. It's like when I was a kid, I would see the ocean every day because I lived in Malibu, and every day the energy of the ocean was slightly different. The color, the sand, everything. So every day is different. Some days I wake up and I am ready to conquer the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And other days you're off. Something's not quite right. Or feels like you feel like staying at home or staying small or, you know, and there's different identities that seem to shape. But the beauty of remembering who we are is the most powerful thing, and I'm sure that's where we're going to go with this conversation, is how do you get past the false self and really step back into who you're meant to be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to talk a little more about that. I also want to talk about really stepping into the function of this reality of the new coming, the new earth, this oneness that we're coming into, and how, you know, working through the body and working through Qigong and remembering what we actually are, how do you see that unfolding and what tools do you have that can help us as we expand into the new earth?
I'll say that for me, the formula has been to get back in my body first. Do something around the physical form to ground myself or to ground yourself. That could be just shifting the diet. I've witnessed that in you, Jenna. You look amazing. Your body looks completely different. And I know it's hard work, but it's so worth it because you're using your body as a vehicle to return to what you're meant to be, who your full potential. And so I always start there. And depending on where someone's at, it doesn't have to be go and start doing, you know, this hardcore boot camp thing and drop 20 pounds. Like, it could just be walking around the block and taking some deep breaths, or, you know, maybe it's a Qigong practice, maybe it's yoga, maybe it's a change in the diet. It's something on the physical level where you're really drawing your attention into the body as a temple. And starting there has been the best thing for me, and I think for my students, because I used to teach meditation first, and meditation's a beautiful, powerful practice, but it's hard to sit still. You guys relate, right? It's hard to decide.
Totally.
The brain, and especially think about the gap today compared to when a lot of us were kids and we didn't have cell phones and we didn't have computers, we didn't have all this technological overload. It was a little bit easier back then, wasn't it? Life was a little simpler. Today, we're just trying to keep up with this information. Like, I was at this event. There were 3,500 people there. Every single person was on a phone, like, all the time. They're so sucked into the brain mode. And so I would say let's talk about starting with the body.
I love that. That's been it for me, too. And I like to think of my body as kind of the ultimate conscious unit, so to speak, the ultimate doorway to consciousness.
Beautiful.
Not that it's everything, but it is one of the best things, this like precious little animal that is my body that takes all kinds of abuse from me all day long.
It's the vehicle. We've got to take care of this thing. It gets depleted if you don't. And you know, when you love to give people here, especially on your calls, want to make a difference. And we can sometimes get really pulled into the energy of that. I would call that the heart center energy in the body temple. But if we don't build and boost our own physical energy, we'll have nothing left to give after a while. We watch this, don't we, with entrepreneurs. They start with such passion. There's this mission. There's this beautiful thing that they want to do in the world. And then the machine of the business takes over, and the marketing and all of that. And then their body takes a beating. It starts to deplete. The energy drains. And then they lose their way because the body either distracts them, starts breaking down, or you're so like in your stress of trying to keep up with everything that you lose your purpose, your drive. So it's very important to keep this body temple very healthy.
Yeah. Well, and what I found is when I followed the frequency, when I really asked my body and I asked the foods that I take in, it was only the yummiest and the best and the highest quality that I could, that was available. And yeah. It was just so dynamic when you really tune in and you think that, no, my body will want Cheetos or my body will want this greasy burger at some point. But when you really tune in and tap into the frequency of the food for your highest good, it's like, no way. There's no way I could put that muck in my mouth. It was almost like I was gagging after I had cleared out. I had done an elimination diet for a few weeks, and once I had cleared out, it was like, oh my gosh, I can't even eat the same things that I used to eat, and there's no way I would ever want to. Yeah. And I guess, and I think that the clarity and the focus from change, it's really that I became so super present and so clear. And it was kind of like I was asking for that, I was seeking that, and one of the ways that I got that was changing my exercise, my body, my food, just by following the energy in each moment. It's dynamic. And can you talk more about that, Tristan? Like, why does that work? You know, I know that from an energy standpoint, healthy food gives us healthy energy, right? That's kind of the right. real world view. But how sure. does it work on a chi basis? Let's talk more about that.
You're really onto something here, talking about it around energy, because we all do feel better when we take care of ourselves, even just at the psychological level. But of course, on the physical level, you start moving the body, you start putting higher vibrational foods, healthier foods inside, we get energy. You know, we feel more life. We feel more presence. You mentioned you felt more present. I think there's an energy signature that every human being has, which is of the highest order. It's just when the life force energy, if you will, right? Some people call it chi, prana, life force. It can flow through us in its purest form. And as children, we are teeming with this energy. Like, we heal overnight. We bounce off walls. We're incredible. We're tapped in and all of that. And over time, that energy gets pinched off for a variety of reasons. I mean, it can be just different stressors, psychological stuff making us feel heavy. It could be poor foods, lack of movement, lack of sleep. All that stuff, illness that just is chronic, it's not going away, it's all pinching off the life force. But when you do the right things to open the body back up, then that energy flows, kind of like a garden hose that has a rock or somebody stepping on it and the hose is turned on, but the water's trickling out. Our body has channels just like that hose where it will flow through you. But when it's bound up by tension and stress, and there are things called disruptions that can happen from cell phones and power lines and, you know, all the Wi-Fi stuff in the air today, man, if you could have seen the energy where I was with 3,500 people, and I know you almost ended up there, it was like crazy energy in the room.
Because,
right? All the mind, all the phones, all the electronics, like it was sucking the life force out of me. I could feel it because my body's so sensitive. It's like my barometer. I literally had to leave the building and go and ground myself doing the same thing with Qigong. And then I could come back in and I was present. So, you know, I didn't get all messed up. But this energy signature, there is a default, if you will. It's the highest and purest signature. And it creates a particular identity, a personality, if you will, of how you choose to live your life. And when you're aligned with healthy energy flow, you simply make well-informed, high-vibrational choices. Your body knows what to do. It knows what to feed it. We all have a knowing. I know we're like being real and being raw is about being who you're meant to be. And you have such an amazing, we all have such an amazing wisdom inside that knows what to do and when to do it, when we're present and when we're connected to it. So by moving the body, eating better like you're suggesting, getting this life force to flow, our personality changes. And the body itself craves the best stuff. Like, it's not discipline as much anymore. It's just common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so nice.
Yeah. Well,
but I think it's the energy.
You know, I guess, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, you hear these different speakers, and one of them says, well, you know something about common sense is it's common, meaning in some ways we're entrained to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, although you say common from the sensical standpoint, like meaning, you know, yeah, this is, you know, put good things in your body and pay attention to the frequency and good things will come out. But the common senses in America is it doesn't matter. Like, you know, and sometimes on these energy calls, it's kind of interesting because I've had people like say, well, the body will program to whatever you give it, right? So if you don't have a belief that it's bad and wrong, then it's not bad and wrong. And I don't know, but that's not how my body does it. You know, my body clearly is like, ooh, bright.
Yeah, I don't want to
shiny,
play that game. Like,
yeah.
Do you want to visualize that you have cancer, but you're going to program it that you're fine? No, thank you. I think I'm going to program in the stuff that I know is a high vibration that is really good for me and makes me feel and look amazing. Because let's face it, in this day and age, your body will prematurely age if you don't take care of it. It's not even just aging, because that big buzzword, anti-aging and all of that. It's just that people are so freaking stressed out, they're aging faster than they should. But if we could turn that off, the body knows there is a DNA, there is an energy signature that is of perfect, beautiful health. I've witnessed miracles with people's health and healing because they got back in touch with the energy flow. That's why I talk about this. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know that you know, and I know that I know, and that's you know, and you know, I think that it's energy just like everything else is energy. And
it's what we're made of.
The second thing I wanted to talk to you about was, you know, this idea of functioning from the moment, functioning from oneness. You know, it seems as if there's a presence that you have, unlike a lot of people, that is really about functioning as an in oneness. And I wanted to kind of have you share about that.
Sure. I think we all have access to it. I love that word because nobody is above anybody. It's our birthright to be. We're called human beings after all, not human doings. I think we had a little play on that at one of your events that I got to share at about
right.
The art of doing. We're very good doers in our culture. Do, 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 do. And then all of a sudden the body goes, okay, that's it. You got to sit down and recuperate. And whether you get sick or you're burned out, you have to be. And what I have discovered, and I think everybody can relate to this, is when you breathe in, you must breathe out. And there's a circle and a cycle to life. There's a yin and there's a yang. And if your yang is considered the go, go, go energy, the male, that kind of strength, and yin is the soft, receptive, feminine, if you're yang, 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 you're going to become very yin. They flip. You become very soft, but so soft you become weak. And so it's this beautiful interplay of those two energies. And so I like to say it's the art of doobie-doobie-doo. And it is a little song. It's a little dance. Go out in the world. Do amazing things. But come home every day and rejuvenate and be, right? I love your biology brand. Just be and then go and do. And it's in that beautiful exchange that we stay in that flow and we stay in that presence you were talking about. because as a younger man, before presence came into my life, it was all about doing, right? I was trying to get good grades. I was trying to become something. I'm trying to go to college. I'm trying. Martial arts and surfing, nature, came in and said, hey, slow down, buddy. Just sit on that surfboard for a while and take it in. Wow, look at these beautiful waves. Look at that beautiful sunset. Look at those dolphins. You know, just be for a little while. And I got the bug. And the martial arts, at the end of class, we were so exhausted from the training, but the teachers understood that was the yin phase. And that's when we would lie on our backs and do deep breathing and visualize this energy flow. And so I guess I'm lucky, maybe, I don't know, at an early age, I understood that you must, you know, have that perfect balance of doobie-doobie-doo. But you can go very deeply into the be if you give yourself a chance. And I think that's the big struggle we should talk about. There's so much doing to be done and very little time because of that to be. So how do we carve out the time to actually return and go back to center?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess I'd love some other more tools and some more activation so that people can really get what the Satori method is all about as well. I know you've got this like new flow practice that you're going to share in your special offer that you put together beautifully and very, very special for us. So, you know, here's my opening for you to take us where you think we need to go with it.
Okay.
How can we get more Tristan?
Okay,
sure.
Well, you know, I think we all are on a path, and we're trying to find out, really, how should we spend our days, right? What is the most meaningful way that I can spend my energy, literally? It's like currency, right? And we only have so much, and we get this lifetime to fully enjoy it and spend the energy and pay it forward. I love to really take care of myself, so that I can be of service for others. So that's my basic MO. Take care of this body and this mind and things like that. Get really, really clear on now how I want to spend that energy. And I look at the different areas of my life, and there's a lot of moving parts to life, and make conscious decisions on how I can extend, if you will, or shape my meaning or my purpose into those areas. So those areas, and this is Satori method, it's kind of a system for getting a very healthy energy flow and then taking that energy and shaping it into the areas of life that are important to you. And I always start with the physical body, like we've talked about today, and then moving from that into what a Satori really is. So a Satori, in my definition of Satori, and if you look it up in the dictionary, it is a Zen awakening or a spiritual awakening. And so as a young man, that became very sexy to me. I want to know, how do I wake up? What is this thing I hear people talking about, this self-realization? And so I went down the spiritual path of trying to learn how to awaken. And as beautiful as that path was, I also found myself in a bubble where I was just around very spiritual people doing very spiritual things, and you develop a spiritual identity. But it wasn't integrated into my everyday life. And Sabrina and I were on this path together, and we realized one day, we've got to pop this bubble, and we've got to take these practices and find Western-friendly, you know, everyday enlightenment processes so we can stay awake and do beautiful things in the world. So when we're talking about Satori, we're definitely talking about awakening, but we want to start with the physical body. So we're talking about awakening your health, awakening your vitality. And to do this, we create courses and programs based on the best things that we've ever found, be they martial arts, dance, the right types of food, different movement protocols. And Qigong is one of those. It's incredible because it really incorporates movement, breathing, meditation, and visualization. We call it the Swiss Army knife of personal growth. So we start there, and then we like to move people into Heart Center. So we were in Power Center, now we're in Heart Center, And that's like getting super clear on why you're here and what you want to be doing in this lifetime that you have. And that used to drive me crazy because purpose is such a big word and it can be so many different things to so many different people. And sometimes I would judge myself, like my purpose isn't big enough. I should be like Mother Teresa, you know, trying to do this huge thing over here, and it would shut me down. But what I've discovered on the journey is that I can awaken this inner knowing. There's a Tristan inside of me that just knows what's right for me. That it seems that I was almost instilled with in this life with a particular thing that I'm meant to do. You may call your calling or your mission or your gift, whatever. So I love to spend quiet time, whether it be in contemplation or meditation, but I almost always do it after my body work, right? My physical movement. I sit down like my karate teachers used to do. And they would exhaust us and we would lay on our back and we would listen. And I have found that there's another Satori that comes from this place, and it lives in the heart. People always say, follow your heart, you know, trust your heart. I know that my heart speaks to me. I just have to get quiet enough to listen to it. And whenever I lose my way, I go back to that place, I get quiet, I sit, I listen, and then I write. I have a journal, and I write down what comes to me. And it's almost always those deeper, meaningful downloads or whatever you want to call them that guide my life. So, and this is all part of the Qigong process. I can explain that in a moment. So I write them down. And I think this is a really good tool for everyone, and that's why I'm bringing it up. We all have amnesia, right? We get so busy and we forget what we really love because those other identities show up and other programs show up. But if I have my journal and I have written down who I am, what I love, why I'm here, I can go back and I can remind myself what my being has been telling me. And by doing this, I can now use the power of my mind in a beautiful way to shape the things that I want to create in my life by goal setting, right? Or having visualization practice or different things that you do with your mind. But it's not from some outside source anymore. It's not what my mom told me to do or my teachers or the media or the coach. It's what my being is suggesting is the highest vibration for me. And I know that's what you're all about, really being raw and being you. So then I try to tell a new story. I'm trying to rewrite the old story every single day, and I'm going to remove that word try. That's the practice. Is the old stories have been there for a long time. That's fine. They can be there. They've served me well. But I'm telling a new story, but this story is in alignment with my purpose. And so I want my mind and my heart to be on the same team, or my mind and my spirit. It's not about overcoming this ego, and there's a lot of teachings out there where you've got to transcend the ego, bury the ego, you know, clear the path. That's cool, but what if you just upgraded it? What if you just upgrade the story? So that's our method. So we always work at the physical level, at the heart center level, and at the wisdom center level. And we infuse that into our Qigong practice. So that's what the flow form is. And it's about moving the body. Again, we start there. And Qigong is incredible because you're doing these squatting movements, you're flowing your arms. If you've ever seen people in the park doing Tai Chi, you know how they're moving slowly and gracefully. They look like a bird or like a stream. It's very natural ways of moving. It's very easy, and I love that anyone can do it. So you're moving and you're breathing and you're getting present. And there are these postures, just like the one that I used when I was working on my situation when I was scared with John Assaraf. Well, there are three postures in Qigong and in this flow form. One is to build your power center around the lower dantian, around your belly. And we can do an exercise for that today. And so you do these movements and you build and you breathe and then you flow the energy more through your body and you bring it up. So you're bringing it up the spine and then you bring it into your heart. And you hold these beautiful postures, and you put the new picture in, and you move it into your heart, and then you circulate the energy some more, you bring it up to the mind level, into the wisdom, and you open your mind. And when you're done doing the practice, you sit down, and you just go into being. And you can feel this incredible flow just from the top of your head all the way down through you, and there's a stillness that happens. The body is back online with the mind. So mind and body are aligned. The flow is happening, and then you just listen. And you listen for your Satori to pop. And that's the practice of my life. And every program that we make has an aspect of that mind-body-spirit integration in it.
I love that. You know, and a few questions come up with me is, well, could we operate with no story at all?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But then there's
so that
just...
that could be the choice, that instead of just changing the story, then the
yes.
story just is no story, and we're just open to all possibilities.
And that is an incredible level of enlightenment. That is very mm-hmm. rare, but I believe it is
yeah.
possible. It's what I like to call the Mr. Miyagi state from Karate Kid. And mm-hmm. I've been down that path seeking for that. But I'm, and this isn't to go against your process or your teachings in any way, because
mm-hmm.
it's a question we should all be asking is, can I live in that storyless place? I believe you can. And it's a beautiful thing to be. Like I call that Mushin, which means no mind. There's no story. There's no thinking. There's no opinions. There's no labels. There's no categories. There's just pure being. But in order for you to function in this world, you're going to have some software programs running. And that's what I'm talking about is let's get those stories so in alignment with that beingness that I believe you're talking about, the storyless place. I call it my Satori story. It's an awakened story. So it's completely congruent with being.
I know that there are sometimes incremental steps that we have to take for certain things. I mean, you can't just go from, like, zero to no expectations. Like, you know, it's almost like just first become aware of expectation, then change the expectation, upgrade the expectation. I'm using expectation like story because sometimes that's easier for them to grasp. And then you create the expectation, right? And then once you create and you find that you can play in the energy in that way, then you can remove expectation totally and just be present to create.
Oh, I love what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah, did you follow all that? Yeah. I do.
I've been down this path a long time. You know what you're doing.
Right. I don't know about you, Tristan, but this excites me. Like,
yeah, I'm on board.
I I'm just like, why doesn't this excite more people? Like, just the frequency play on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, have you ever read Yogananda?
Yogananda.
And creating the kite, you know, it's kind of like, I want to see a kite. And then the kite shows up in the sky, like as if magic. I mean, that's like the Matrix illusion of magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I love playing with, you know, kind of going, okay, so I've done a summit in the past. This is what I know. This is what I'm expected. Okay, erase, erase, erase. And then, because that's kind of just the natural expectation. And then you go, okay, so let's see what would happen if I choose this. And let's kind of stick this expectation in my mind. You know, this is what I'm kind of expecting from the series. Like, but that's kind of been an erase. Here's the new expectation story. Now, I'd love to say that I create it from zero expectation, but there is still something that I still do expect if I'm being honest and vulnerable and right here with you guys, and which I'm coming out and I'm going to say it, you know. But that's kind of the beauty of this and the play of this. And I don't know, that's what I love about this work is you create everything. It's kind of like having this clay in front of you. And it's like, I expect this to look like, you know, a pot of clay. And then you're like, no, I'm better than that. Okay, I expect this to look like a beautiful pottery bowl, and then you create that, and then next time you can come back with your pottery bowl and have that expectation, but it, make it like a Michelangelo, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, you are actually a beautiful example of someone who is mastering the art of detachment and then moving into new space. You create the space to allow new possibility, and then you go for it.
Thank you. I love
that about you, because a lot of people get stuck in a pigeonhole, and they're like, well, I've invested my time and my energy and my thing in this, and so I got to stick to that. And you're like, no. You know those Buddhists make those beautiful mandalas, right, out of sand?
I love reading those stories.
They
don't even like to take pictures of them.
And then you know what they do? They just wipe them away at the end.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I'm like, no. Oh, okay. The art of impermanence. You know, it's you've done that here with this summit. But you have and you haven't, because you still brought the thread of your truth, of who you are. You always can feel your essence and your energy, but you've got a new pot of clay that you're playing with, and it just gets more beautiful each time. So you're a beautiful example of.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Sure. It means so much coming from you. So I'm just kind
certainly
of in this glee.
I'm loving it. You're helping me just by doing what you're doing.
Oh, fantastic. You know, I shared with you that we bought a beach house out on the Gulf of Mexico. Well, they have a sand fest there, and they take an entire 3 day to build these huge sand sculptures, and they did the same with it. I can't wait to be a part of it this year, just kind of be in that energy of, you know, putting your heart and your soul and your passion and your art into it so deeply, just for something that's impermanent, just for 3 days. You know, it's kind of that same thing of non-attachment. You know, what? How can you live with zero attachment?
We got to go beyond control. The key.
Yeah. Right. Well, maybe we should have a conversation about that. You know, I would like to talk with you a little bit about, you know, one of the things, the trends that I notice is the rebellion. Like, we want to fight everything. It's kind of like you're given a diet plan, this can work, but you say, no way. And I'm going to do it my way. And you're given food, and you know that you'll get results if you choose it, but you go, you know, it's kind of that rebellion streak. So I'd like to talk about that. And with that, control kind of brings that up for me. Can you share how that kind of works in the flow that's in your work?
Different thoughts come when you talk about it. I mean, because we have all can connect to rebellion, I'm sure. We've all been teenagers. We've all been in the phase of life where it's my turn. You know, I've been told what to do by everybody. Now I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it my way. And some of us are waking up to that a little later in life. And it's not a bad thing to go through that phase. You've got to rebel, you know, but you got to move through that and get to the place where you're in acceptance again and creation from a place of peace, because rebellion is not peaceful. And there is a resistance and an assertive energy, totally feel that there's a time and a place for it, especially if you've felt oppressed or you've felt controlled by others. That's the natural instinct, is to go, no, I'm done. I mean, I've taught self-defense for, 30 years now, so I can really speak to this. I've worked with a lot of kids, a lot of young girls going off to college, girls that have been, you know, unfortunately attacked. And there's a feeling of being shoved down, pushed down, and I'm not going to be passive anymore. And I encourage them to break through that and get empowered. But then don't stay in that place, because you'll start attracting things that aren't in alignment with where you really want to be. You'll get more aggression in your life. So I would start the conversation there.
Wow. That's like totally not what I thought you were going to say.
Voila.
What about rebellion as a form of self-control?
Ah, flip it around on me, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of where I thought you would go with it. But yeah, I'd like to hear
rebellion.
Your viewpoint on the other side of it. Like, yeah, there is a rebellion that, hey, screw you, hear me roar, which
right.
is almost kind of a natural. Because we've been shut down all our lives, you know, we're being ourselves, we're being loud, and we're told to go shut up and sit in the corner. But I, you know, I was kind of thinking about it in like, well, when we do rebellion to kind of, it's like, cut off my nose to spite my face.
Well, I think that kind of rebellion is your fear, right?
Well, I don't know. I'm asking you. I'm exploring it.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll tell you what. I can feel the two energies of this. One is the psychological rebellion that I was referring to, where we all need to embrace that and move through it. But then there is another type of rebellion that I think you're wanting to explore, and that's the rebellion of the soul that says, that's it. I've had enough playing games, playing small. I've had enough being false. I've had enough playing a role. It's time for me to step up and who I really am. And what you talked about Yogananda. You want to talk about rebellion? That was a rebellious being right there. He went for it. I mean, he came from the East and he came here to the West. They never heard of yoga or this crazy guy wearing orange robes, and he was all in because he had such a love for truth and awakening, and nothing could stop him because he completely owned it and was owned by it. That's an interesting metamorphic moment, isn't it? Where there's a you here still saying, I choose this. I choose the higher. I choose to evolve. I choose to be real. And then there's an energy of reality or truth that now says, okay, I fully choose you. It's sort of like when the dance and the dancer become one. And that's what I feel in my life now is truth just chooses me. It says, hey, you said you wanted to serve. Okay, let's do this. And that's the ultimate rebellion. At least that's how I speak to that.
Yeah, no, I love that. You know, I think these awarenesses and these simple, you know, shifts and kind of the mindset changes everything in the frequency that we're being. When we can really acknowledge that and be like, hey, oh, okay, got it. Yeah.
The ultimate rebellion, I feel, is total surrender in the most beautiful way. That you give yourself to your path. You completely say, I'm all in. Bring it on. Come what may, I'm all in. And in that moment, I think fear looks at you and goes, I'm out of here.
It's this courage that comes through. Yeah.
You become unstoppable in that. But you must remember, I must remember every day that I am that. It's like that Sabrina made a beautiful little photo or image that we put in our email when we were promoting this teleseminar. And it was the little cat looking in the mirror. And then what is looking back is the lion. And so you see yourself as the lion. You roar. You get it. Yes, this is my raw power. But every now and then, the little kitten forgets that it is the lion and sees the kitten. And so this is why we need community. We need conscious reminders. We need calls like this. And we need some form of journal or mission or purpose. I've written mine down. And I read it. Well, now I just say it because it's so ingrained in my being. But for a while, I was really trying to get dialed in. Who is Tristan? What's your directive? What drives you in this life? And I came up with a purpose statement, and I used that to remind the kitten that he's really a lion.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with being the energy of the kitten in moments. It's
for
just
sure.
What do you choose? Yeah, I love that.
Well, I like the kitten. In this metaphor, the part of you that
feels okay. He represents youthfulness, too.
Innocence of the kitten and all of that, but that's actually the soul as well. That's still the lion.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, yeah, totally.
Yeah, totally cool. Courage. All right, you guys, just want to remind you, on the live page, go ahead and scroll on down and give us some of your comments and some of your questions that you have for us. And while we're queuing up a few questions, and it's all the way down, just scroll all the way down to the bottom of this page. It's at roar.realrawyou.com/live. And Tristan, and also on that page is Tristan's special offer that he has, that's uber special. And I think you'll really love it. And if you want to click the special offer, Tristan, why don't you go over there and we'll talk about what you've put together about kind of these energetic techniques for, it's not just about healing, but it's really about just being more energy and being more aware and accessing greater awareness.
It is. There's three different levels that I think we should speak about, and they are connected to the three energy centers that we referenced earlier, your power, your heart, and your wisdom. And we all want to feel empowered and feel energy and that the body is healthy. Listen, if the body temple is distracted, if it's depleted, if it's disrupted, you know, I don't know what everyone's personal goals are or direction, but we need this body to be rocking. We need the mojo. We need to get it done. We want to feel productive. We want to feel energized. So, you know, there's many, many, many methodologies out there. The beauty of Qigong and the reason I've dedicated my life to it is I've studied martial arts for 30 years. I've studied fitness since I was a child, surfing, everything, you know, diet, raw food, herbology. Like, I've dedicated my life. I was pre-med when I was in college. Like, I'm all into the body. But the thing about the Qigong is you've got two bodies. You've got a physical body and you've got an energy body. And most people don't address the energy body. And so there are physical things going on that don't make sense, stuff that doctors can't put their finger on, or reasons why am I so freaking tired? Why am I depleted? Let me hit another Red Bull or whatever. You know, let me get some external energy to keep going. But there is an amazing powerhouse of energy inside. And you have these energy centers and you have these channels. They've been mapped out by the acupuncturists and they work. When you get your life force flowing, you are on fire. And I'm all into that because I'm one of the most productive people I know. Sabrina, she's like an energizer bunny. And people always say to us, like, what are you guys on? What are you doing? Why are you? And our age is, you know, we're a little older than some folks that we know, but we don't look older. What's up with that?
No.
This energy body. So that's one reason that it's super awesome. Okay, another reason that I think this is super awesome is direction. Being clear on what to do and when to do it. We can talk about intuition. We can talk about that cool thing that happened with John Assaraf. Why are those things happening? Because we're removing the fears. We're removing the doubts. And if anyone knows anything about energy disruptions, then we know that the root cause of most negative emotions is a disruption in the energy body. If anyone studied EFT, if you know what that is, emotional freedom technique, that's a very good modality that explains why emotions, they linger and they hold us back, is because the energy is disrupted. So when you tap the body, there's a lot of stuff in this flow routine that gets your energy disruptions balanced and cleared. All of a sudden, you feel less emotional baggage. You feel more clear. You get intuitive hits like I did with the John Assaraf thing. Like, whoa, I need to be going and reaching out to this. So that's kind of awesome. And then is the third area being the mind center or the wisdom center. It's that ability to stay present, to be present. You mentioned that about Tristan, right, earlier. I practice every day so that my mind doesn't overtake my life. I used to tell my friends, I'm a mindaholic. I'm way too in my mind. I'm thinking, trying to psychoanalyze everything and put everything in the right compartments and know my stuff. And that's cool. And there's a place for psychological hipness. But sometimes there's just the state of no mind where you just know without knowing. You know what I'm talking about. Where you're here and you just have clarity. You have perspective. You know what to do and when to do it. That is my lifeline right there. Without that, I feel very lost. I feel that I'm always in my mind, and that's where the ego gets the better of me, because my ego is full of programs. And yes, I've got some good programs, but I'm in that process and practice of upgrading them so they're in alignment with just being. When you practice Qigong, you feel, and it doesn't take long. The routine that I'm presenting here is about 15 minutes. So you're breathing, You're moving your arms. There's a little video on the page that you guys can watch. I have it turned off for you right now, so it won't bug you while we're chatting. But watch the video. Watch the movements. They're really cool. They stretch your body. They open the channels. If you know about yoga, then you know that the postures and the asanas are designed to open the life force channels so that the prana or the chi can flow through the body. As the energy rises up, it becomes more conscious. So a daily practice helps you to evolve your consciousness. And I think we're really getting to that in the conversation now. There's something in us that is self-aware, that is awareness, that is realized. And if we line ourselves up with it, we will have satori, we will have knowing. And that's the practice. If you go down the page, you're going to see some things, you know, about the routine, how it works, how long it is, like I mentioned, about 15 minutes. And we did put together a pretty awesome package for you guys. So it's $47 times two. And then there's a one pay, which is just $77. That's all digital online in our online academy. You don't have to download a darn thing. There's no plugins. There's no nonsense. We have a beautiful space that you just log in with your private ID. You can watch all the videos from there. If you like downloading, absolutely, it's available there. We even have a one-click download button so you can go and select everything you want very quickly. We have a way that you can get a hard copy if you want. And there was something else that I wanted to share about the academy. Well, just that everything is played online. You do get the downloads, and you get incredible support. I wrote this morning, Jenith, when I was working on some of our business stuff, and part of our mission, and I'll just read it. It's super simple. Our mission is to fully support all of our Satori members and our VIPs. Every day, we're here for you guys. We're just like you, Jenith. We want to support the people that want to do this work with us. Mm-hmm. If somebody says yes, we say yes to them. So please know that, and we always have 100%, you know, full money-back guarantee. Feel free to read up on us, read the testimonials, the success stories. It's the real deal, and it really works.
Yeah, well, I know that it really works, and you wouldn't be on the series if it didn't.
Thank you.
Actually, with that said, you guys, I mean, I have really hand-selected the people that I really know, and I really know that their work is amazing, and I can really trust that if you invest in them, that they will handhold you. They will take you along. They'll make sure that you get it. And that's a commitment to me. It's a commitment to you. It's a commitment to my speakers. And it's a commitment to those of you that really want to become all of you. I mean, this is like, for me, I mean, this is like the cream of the crop this week of speakers. I mean, it is. You know, I mean, I've invited Tristan to speak live to my people. You know, he's been spoken at my live event. And you know how many people get to speak at my live event? There's like three.
What?
Right?
Yeah, it was an honor.
It's all about me, man.
Well, yeah, right? Gotta share your love.
I just want you guys to know, you know, this is for you. It's a treat. You know, we've reduced these packages from thousands of dollars to discounted so that you guys can, you know, dive in and sample, even if you will, some of the cream of the crop. I don't want to use that word, but you know what I mean. I mean, those of us that have really studied this work, this isn't for, like, beginners. This is for those that know we're ready for more. Like, we're ready. We're hungry. And how can we receive it? It's for you guys that know that you know that you know that you are that. So I think I'm done rambling about that.
I like that ramble. Well, it's true.
Well, it's important. Yeah.
It is.
Go ahead.
Know that the people who are here right now or who are listening later, it isn't by chance. It's not like, oh, I just stumbled upon this thing. You were drawn to this because of your vibration and your alignment with Jenith's work. And obviously, we have an alignment together. Otherwise, we wouldn't be on this call together. And so it's presented to you because you're asking for it. It's not anybody pushing anything on you. It's always an offering. That's the beautiful thing about an offer. It's here you go. Would you like to sample this? Would you like to try this? Beautiful. And I think that's the way it should be. All the risk should be on us because we're the ones saying, this really works. This is great. You know, well, how do you know? Well, you know energetically right now if it feels right. And then you know by trying and you have no risk. Yeah. So if you've been looking for a simple routine, something that you can implement, and we could refer back to the whole doobie-doobie-doo, where I said, where do we make time for being? How do we do that? How do we fit that into our busy schedule? Well, here's a way. Here's a solution. It doesn't take a long time. You can do this in the morning. Literally, as you go through the process, and I've broken this down week by week for you. So for the first 3 weeks, you're doing a 5-minute practice, and you get a private lesson. You can watch that once or twice, and I explain everything in detail, articulate every little nuance. I love teaching, if you haven't gotten that yet. 22 years of having my martial art dojo in Austin, it's my greatest joy is to teach. So you'll train with me. We're in the studio. I'll show you every single move, and I promise you can do it. If you can ride a bike, if you can walk, you can do this, okay? Mm-hmm. We go through it, and then there's the follow-along. So that's a video that's right under the private lesson, and you just do that for the first week. And what will happen, actually, this is really important. You may have a doubt here because I know others have had this doubt. If you buy a program, is it just going to be one of those other programs that I never actually used, that I bought it, like we call it shelf help in our industry? Is it just going to be shelf help? Well, not if I can help it. If I can help it, you're going to feel so supported and make this so easy that you actually, that doubt doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. And then you have this success around a particular practice that leads into more success and more success. And then the following week, again, just 5 minutes, then the third week, 5-minute routine, and then we bundle the whole thing together into what's called the flow form. And you'll have the flow form with beautiful music, beautiful cinematography. It's all HD. It'll play on any single device that you have, so you can watch this on your phone. You can take it with you out in the park, in the garden, to the beach. You can put it on your tablets. You can watch it on your laptop, or you can get the DVDs and watch it on your regular television. And we'll go through it together. And there's three versions. There's one by the beach in Laguna Beach, California. There's one in a very beautiful forest garden area. And there's another one that's in the studio. So you get lots of variety so that we always keep it fresh and new. But again, my main point here is you'll actually do this.
Yeah. Well, I think that's so important because, you know, people going into it are like, I'm not sure if I'm going to like this, you know. And it's always hard to get people to do a new habit, you know, to really, you know, just turn it on and make it happen. And, you know, you do have to be called in some way to do any of those.
I think we're always asked, we're aware of it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fantastic. Thank you. Gosh, I can't believe it's already been an hour and 15 minutes. I feel like I could talk to you another hour. It's just crazy.
It's only to hang out.
Yeah. We'll have to find another time. I'll have to go to the dojo and get in a real live in-person workshop for sure.
Anytime. And that goes for anyone. If you're ever in Austin, Texas, you are more than welcome to come and play with us. It's completely complimentary to come and train with myself or Sabrina and see what we do down here.
Oh, very nice. What a gift. So you guys, definitely. I know. I see that there's a few more Austin callers on the line. So.
Nice. Well, then we might get...
we might get some business in person.
Come on down. We've got some nice, cool people. We love working with people that are like the folks on this call. You know, we know our audience, we know who we love to work with and hang out with, and it's like a tribe. I think that's what you're creating here, Jen, is this beautiful tribe of awakeners, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for playing today, and it's been absolutely fantastic.
Oh my God, what happened? Where am I? Think, Rachel, think. What if one day you woke up and your life wasn't as you remembered? Who would you be? Who could you trust? What would you choose? What is Jake doing here? That's what happens in Jenna's upcoming transformational chick lit novel, Falling in Stilettos.
It's time to come home, Rachel.
Home? Our home? With you. Now available on Amazon.
Thank you for being the best part of the Real Raw You podcast. For more information and more guests, join us at realrawyou.com/podcast. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realrawyou.